This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Allah instructs you that you are to return the amana, the trusts, to the rightful owners of those trusts. وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. And that when you judge between people, you judge with justice. إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِظُكُمْ بِهِ. How excellent is that which Allah instructs you to do. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Allah Almighty is ever hearing and ever seeing. The scholars of tafsir are almost agreed that the verse that you just heard from Surah An-Nisa was revealed in the context of the conquest of Mecca after 23 years of struggle, planning and sacrifice. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu allowed the light of Islam to illuminate the whole of the Arabian Peninsula. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered the city of Mecca, and one of the very first things he did after removing the idols was that he took the keys of the Kaaba from Uthman ibn Talha. And he handed the keys over to Al-Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, and in another narration to Ali ibn Abi Talib. And the moment he walked inside of the Kaaba to pray, Allah revealed the verse that you just heard. Allah instructs you to give back the trusts to their owners. So he came out of the Kaaba and he called for Uthman ibn Talha and he gave him back the key. And he said, هَاكَ مِفْتَاحَكَ يَا عُثْمَانَ الْيَوْمُ يَوْمُ بِرِّ وَوَفَاءَ. Take your key back, O Uthman. This is Allah's instruction. Today is the day of loyalty and righteousness. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life was defined by the upholding of amana, the restoring of trusts to their owners. He was an amin, a trustworthy individual, and they knew him as amin, a trustworthy individual. He advocated it, he called towards it, applied it, and he told us that towards the end of time, one of the signs of the day of judgment will be people will lose amana. The trusts will be abused. And that is why Bukhari narrates on the authority of Abu Hurairah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was once sat with his companions speaking to them. And an Arab Bedouin man came in and interrupted the speech and he said, Mata sa'a? When is the day of judgment? He wants a date. And so some of the companions, they said, Sami'a ma qal walakinnahu kariha. He heard the question, but he didn't like it. That's why he hasn't answered. Other companions, they said, بَلْ لَمْ يَسْمَعْ مَا قَالْ. He didn't hear the question. And when he finished his speech, he said, أَيْنَ السَّائِلُ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ. Where is the man who inquired about the day of judgment? The Bedouin said, هَا أَنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Here I am, it's me. And he said to him, إِذَا ضُيِّعَتِ الْأَمَانَةِ فَانْتَظِرِ السَّاعَةِ. When the amana, the trusts are lost, then wait for the day of judgment. That will be a sign. So what is al-amana? That we are loosely translating as the trust. Is it limited to money that is given to you or belongings when someone travels that you have to give back in full? Is this just an amana or is there more to it? Because there is something profound and huge connected to the concept of amana. The trusts, because the heavens and the earth and the mountains, they refuse to bear it. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu said, Inna aradna al-amanata ala al-samawati wal-ardi wal-jibal. We presented the amana, the trust, to the heavens and the earth and the mountains, and they all refused it. فَأَبَيْنَ أَن يَحْمِلْنَهَا. Not just that. وَأَشْفَقْنَ مِنْهَا. And they feared it. No way. They understood that being a person carrying the amana means accountability on the day of judgment. They said, we don't want it, we are afraid of it. Allah said, wa hamalaha al-insan. But man accepted to carry it. إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. Allah said, he is unjust, he is ignorant. What is amanah? I share with you a quick tour of definitions given by our predecessors as examples of what the term amanah includes so that we know what we are speaking about this afternoon. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, Al-amanatu hiya al-fara'idu allati iftaradaha Allahu ala ibadih. Al-amanah, the trust, is the obligations of Allah. Abu al-Aliyah, he said, Al-amanatu hiya ma umiru bihi wa nuhu anhu. Al-amanah is the prohibitions and the obligations of Islam, very similar to the first definition. Al-Hasan al-Basri, he said, Al-amanatu hiya ad-din, fad-din kulluhu amanah. Al-amanah is the religion of Islam, because the whole religion is but an amanah, a trust. So you see, the concept of amanah is not just about money you keep in a store for your friend or your family member. Al-amanah is something that moves with you when you move. It stays with you when you stay put. It creeps into every one of the departments of life and will bring with it a question on the Day of Judgment. And that is why Ar-Razi, he said in his tafsir, مُعَامَلَةُ الْإِنسَانِ إِمَّا أَن تَكُونَ مَعَ رَبِّهِ أَوْ مَعَ سَائِرِ النَّاسِ أَوْ مَعَ نَفْسِهِ وَلَا بُدَّ مِنْ رِعَايَةِ الْأَمَانَةِ فِي هَذِهِ الْأَقْسَامِ الثَّلَاثَةِ. When you interact, he says, you are dealing with one of three categories. Either you are dealing with your Lord, Jalla Jalalu, or either you are dealing with people, or either you are dealing with yourself. He said, and a Muslim has to uphold amanah, the trust, in every one of those three categories. So al-amanah, the trust, my dear brother, my dear sister, is a huge concept in our religion. It affects us every second of our life, and there will be heavy questions to expect on the Day of Judgment. And I give examples. Your family members, my dear brothers, it's not just a privilege and an enjoyment, it is primarily an amanah, a trust, and there will be a question about it, يوم القيامة. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Allah said, O you who believe, protect yourselves and your families from the hellfire. It's an amanah. Your husband, my dear sister, is an amanah, a trust from Allah that shall be asked on the Day of Judgment. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said to the auntie of Husayn ibn Mihsan, when he said to her, are you married? She said, yes. He said, كَيْفَ أَنْتِ مِنْهُ? How do you behave with him? She said, لَا أَلُوهُ مَسْتَطَعَتْ. I tried to give him everything he needs as much as I can. He said to her, فَانْظُرِي أَيْنَ أَنْتِ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ جَنَّتُكِ أَوْ نَارُكِ. Be very careful how you are with your husband, because after all, he will be your paradise or your hellfire. It's an amanah. Your employees who work for you, they are an amanah, a trust, and there will be a question about them the Day of Judgment. أَعْطُوا الْأَجِيرَ أَجْرَهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَجِفَّ عَرَقَهُ. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give the employee his wage before the sweat on his forehead has a chance to dry. Give him his wage, don't delay. It's an amanah. Your time. Dear users of the internet and social media, your time is an amanah, and there will be a question. And that's why when the people of Jahannam are roasting and they will beg for a second chance, Allah will say to them, أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرُ. Did we not give you lives long enough? Did we not give you time such that if you wanted to benefit, you could have remembered? Time is an amanah. Your private parts, your desires, your lusts. It is an amanah, a trust. And there will be a question about it on the Day of Judgment. And that is why in some narrations attributed to Abdullah ibn Umar that when Allah Almighty created the private part, he said, هَذِهِ أَمَانَةً خَبَّأْتُهَا عِنْدَكَ فَاحْفَظْهَا إِلَّا بِحَقِّهَا. This is an amanah that I have hidden with you, so beware of using it except where permissible. The hijab is an amanah. The Quran is an amanah. Mum and dad, they are an amanah. Your healthy limbs, your sight, your hearing, even your thoughts, they are an amanah. Inna as-sam'a wal-basara wal-fu'ada. Kullu ulaika kana anhu mas'ula. Allah said, your hearing and your seeing and even your heart, there will be a question about them all on the Day of Judgment. Therefore, how beautiful were the words of Al-Hasan when he said, Al-Amana is the whole religion. And the whole religion is but an amana. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. There is another amana, trust, that many Muslims are complaining of an inability to honor it. An amana which they say we are betraying several times a day and we don't know how to stop. Which amana is this? Which trust? This is the trust of access. In the 21st century, you are able to access a sin that our fathers and great-grandfathers needed to go to great lengths to access. They say, this is a trust, and I am failing on almost every evening. What do I do? For a moment, I shift your attention to an ayah from Surah Al-Ma'idah. When you hear it, some of us may not understand what is immediately implied. The ayah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, لَيَبْلُوَنَّكُمُ اللَّهُ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الصَّيْدِ تَنَالُهُ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَرِمَاحُكُمْ لِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَخَافُهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. Allah is going to test you with some of the game animal. Game animal meaning the land animal that is hunted for food. Allah will test you with some of the land animal that is hunted for food that your hands and your spears can reach, so that Allah may know or may make clear, so that Allah may make clear who fears Him in the unseen. What does this mean? The scholars have said that this ayah was revealed in context of some companions who were in a state of ihram, in a state of pilgrimage. And you know, when you are in a state of ihram, one of the things that you cannot do is hunt the land animal for food. So they were there in ihram and they were walking, carrying out their pilgrimage, when all of a sudden, animals that were usually so difficult to hunt gathered around the companions. They came to them. They were beneath their feet. And bearing in mind the hunger of the companions and their poverty for the most part, not a single one of the Sahaba reached out to one of those animals, despite their need. And they were within reach and their spears could reach them as well. Why did Allah test them in this way? The verse said, so that Allah may make clear who fears Him in the unseen. Now I shift your attention, and you will say to me today in the 21st century, just 50 years ago, it was impossible to communicate with a member of the opposite gender without so much planning and hard work. Today, what do you need? You need an 11-digit number. You need a social media profile name. And lo and behold, you have 24 access of unfettered communication to him or to her. And who was looking? No one other than Allah. You will say, why? Why this fitna? Why has our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed this test? Why is it that my child is able to access all of the ideologies of the world from within the confines of his own home? All of the cultures, all of the social perversions, and all of the fetishes of people in the East and West, they see it in their mobiles and their computers. Why would my Lord allow this type of test in my home and the home of the Muslims? And the answer is the same as what you just heard in the verse. لِيَعْلَمْ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَخَافُهُ بِالْغَيْبِ, so that Allah may make clear who are the ones who fear Him in the unseen. خوفك من الريح إذ حركت ستر بابك وأنت على الذنب أعظم من الذنب إذ فعلته. The fear that came into your heart, my dear brother, When the wind started to move the curtains of your door, when you were committing your sin, fearing that someone has caught you, that fear is greater and worse in the eyes of Allah than the sin itself. That fear should have been for Allah. يا أخي الكريم لا تكن وليا لله في الظاهر عدوا لله في الباطن. Beware of being an ally, a friend of Allah in public, but an enemy of Allah in private. إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييت تعصيني وتخفي الذنب من خلقي وبالعصيان تأتيني إذا خلوت بريبة في ظلمة والنفس داعية إلى الطغيان فاستحي من نظر الإله وقل لها إن الذي خلق الظلام يراني. This is a contradiction in the personality of a Muslim, and this is unacceptable. And whilst people may not discover this contradiction today in you, it will be discovered on the day of judgment if it is not fixed today. And that is why Ibn Majah narrates, and I will conclude with this, on the authority of Thawban, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَأَعْلَمَنَّ أَقْوَامًا مِّنْ أُمَّتِي يَأْتُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِحَسَنَاتٍ أَمْثَالِ جِبَالِ تِهَامَةَ بِضَاءَ. I know people from my nation, he said, who will come on the day of judgment with mountains of good deeds. Allahu Akbar. And Allah will deck them one after the other. He will make them into rubble, nothing, worthless. فَيَجْعَلُهَا اللَّهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. Scattered dust. So the narrator Thawban, he said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صِفْهُمْ لَنَا جَلِّهِمْ لَنَا أَنْ لَا نَكُونَ مِنْهُمْ وَنَحْنُ لَا نَعْلَمْ. Messenger of Allah, describe them to us. Give us their characteristics, just in case we are the people amassing all of these good deeds and there will be nothing on the day of judgment. What do they look like? He said, أَمَا إِنَّهُمْ مِنْ إِخْوَانِكُمْ. They are your brothers. وَمِنْ جِلْدَتِكُمْ. They're from your race. وَيَأْخُذُونَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ كَمَا تَأْخُذُونَ. And they even pray at night the same way you pray. What went wrong? He said, وَلَكِنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ إِذَا خَلَوْا بِمَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ انْتَهَكُوهَا. He said, the problem is that they were a people whom when they were alone, they would step over the limits of Allah Jalla Jalala. What do we do from here? This is a musibah. Some of you will say, my hair is standing on end. What do I do to uphold this amana of access to sin? What do I do? I will suggest three things in a minute or two. And the first, a wholesome retreat to the Book of Allah. To recite the Qur'an with tadabbur, with contemplation. And that is why Ibn Taymiyyah, he would say, فَإِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ إِذَا قَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ وَتَدَبَّرَهُ كَانَ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَقْوَى الْأَسْبَابِ الْمَانِعَةِ لَهُ مِنَ الْمَعَاصِي أَوْ مِنْ بَعْضِهَا. He said, a person who recites the Qur'an with thought, with contemplation, this becomes one of the strongest barriers between him and sins, or at least some of them. Find a way to access the Qur'an to recite it with contemplation. That's number one. Number two, very quickly, ensure that you worship Allah privately where no one can see you. Give yourself a portion of private one-to-one ibadah, even if it is a minute a day. And that's why Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, ذُنُوبُ الْخَلَوَاتِ أَصْلُ الْإِنْتِكَسَاتِ وَعِبَادَاتُ الْخَفَاءِ أَصْلُ الثَّبَاتِ. The sins that people do when they are alone is the main reason why people go astray later on in life. And he said, similarly, the good deeds that you do when you are alone will be a main reason why you will stay steadfast upon the religion. Lastly, and my final message, dear brother, dear sister, who is afraid of the trust of access, I say to you, message number three, connect yourself to something that is bigger than you. Work towards an Islamic vision project that is bigger than your mirror reflection, your career ambitions, your wage, and your health and fitness. Connect yourself to a large Islamic goal and work towards it. And watch how automatically most of these whisperings will be evicted from your life. in my short experience, I have seen that in the most of the cases I've come across, brothers and sisters who are constantly dipping in and out of haram, observing that which is haram, communicating, moving in and out of relationships, exploring different drugs, using different applications, whatever they may be doing, doing strange things to their body, most of the times, it's because they are bored. There is an emptiness in here. So they need to find something to fill that emptiness. Whereas the people of high aspirations like you, who are digging wells, who are starting charities, who are learning knowledge, who are perfecting their recitation, they are doing something that is bigger than their dunya. They are far too busy to be slowed down by these fetishes and these whisperings. The glow of their objective that they follow is so bright that it has eclipsed every other satanic whispering. They make mistakes and they slip, but when they do, they stand up again. They say Astaghfirullah, and they have a North Star that they are following. They know the path that they need to be on. Connect yourself to something that is bigger than your dunya. These are three concluding messages I wanted to share about the test or the amana of access. We ask Allah to give us protection in our children. Allahumma ighfir lil muslimina wal muslimat.